Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you know when the Holy Spirit is working? Several years ago, a young man, a sincere, dedicated believer in Christ, worshiped in a Lutheran church for the first time. And he found the experience distressing. He had been taught that you know the Holy Spirit is working when you feel the Spirit moving like a wind blowing through your heart, when you feel the sensation that something spiritual is happening in the air around you, when you feel a sense that you are losing yourself in the music or in the moment. And when he worshiped in a Lutheran church for the first time, he didn't experience any of those things. Instead, he describes what that experience was like for him in the following words. He says, "With the robes, the chanting, the turning this way and that, the crossing this way and that, I had no idea what was happening. The sermon wasn't particularly moving, neither were the hymns and the organ." And so when the service was done and he had left, he summed up the experience by saying, "I just didn't feel the Holy Spirit there." Now, he isn't alone in having that kind of experience, and he certainly isn't alone in how he was thinking about the Holy Spirit, and thinking that the way to know whether the Holy Spirit is working is by listening to your feelings, whether you feel a sensation that the Spirit is somehow moving. So, is that the right way to look for the Holy Spirit's work? And if it isn't, then how do you know when the Holy Spirit is working? Well, to help answer that question, I'd like for us to take some time this morning to first hear what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and how he works, and to then look more closely at what the Holy Spirit was doing on the day of Pentecost. And as we do that, I believe we'll find that it helps give us a clearer biblical picture of how and where the Holy Spirit does his work. In today's gospel reading from the 15th and 16th chapters of John, we hear Jesus speaking with his disciples in the upper room of a house in Jerusalem. It's a Thursday night, and Jesus knows that he'll be arrested later that same night and crucified the following day. And so he uses this time to prepare his disciples for what he knows is coming. That night, Jesus tells the disciples that as he had come from the Father into the world, he would soon be leaving the world and returning to the Father. He tells them that there he is going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. He assures them that while they'll no longer be seeing him, he will continue to strengthen and support them as a vine strengthens and supports its branches. And Jesus makes the disciples a promise. He promises that he will also send them another helper, the Holy Spirit. And then, as we hear in our gospel reading, Jesus says more about what the promised Holy Spirit will do when he comes. Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Here, Jesus gives us an important insight into the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he bears witness about Jesus. Then Jesus goes on to say more about how the Holy Spirit does that, how the Holy Spirit bears witness about Jesus. And he does that in two parts. First, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world with regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is to say, the Holy Spirit will work to convict people in their hearts about the guilt of their sin, about the inadequacy of any righteousness that they might claim to have on their own, and about the judgment that they are bringing upon themselves as long as they remain in their sins, as long as they remain separated from Christ and his forgiveness and his righteousness. That is how the Holy Spirit begins bearing witness about Christ, by making people aware of their need for Christ and of how lost they are without him. That's how the Holy Spirit begins bearing witness about Jesus, but that is certainly not where he ends. Jesus then continues his description of the Holy Spirit's work by saying, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So, having convicted people regarding their need for Jesus, the Holy Spirit then takes the things of Jesus and declares them to repentant sinners. The Holy Spirit comes with the righteousness of Jesus and tells us, "This righteousness is now yours as a covering. Your sins are now covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit comes with the peace of Jesus and declares to us, "This peace is now yours. Peace with God, the peace of forgiveness, a peace that surpasses all understanding." The Holy Spirit comes with the life of Jesus and declares to us, "This life is now yours and will be yours forevermore." The Holy Spirit comes to us with every blessing found in Jesus, every gift that Christ secured for us in his saving death and resurrection, and declares to us, "All of this is yours, all because of Jesus." So, according to these words from Jesus, what should we expect to see and hear when the Holy Spirit is working? We should expect to see people being pointed to Jesus as the Holy Spirit bears witness about him. We should expect to hear the Holy Spirit working through the power of God's law to convict sinners in their hearts, making them aware of their need for Jesus as their Savior. And we should expect to hear the Holy Spirit working through the gospel to proclaim to repentant sinners that forgiveness, life, and salvation are theirs without measure, all because of Jesus and what he has done for them. Based on Jesus' teaching, that is what we should expect to see and hear when the Holy Spirit is doing his work. And in fact, that is exactly what we find the Holy Spirit doing on the day of Pentecost, as we heard in our reading this morning from the book of Acts. When we think back to the day of Pentecost, we might naturally think first of things like the sound of wind that filled the house where the disciples were staying, and what looked like tongues of fire that came to rest on each of the disciples, and the miracle of speaking that the Holy Spirit worked that day as he enabled the disciples to speak in languages that they hadn't previously known and had never been taught. And in those things, the Holy Spirit was wondrously at work that day. But those sights and those sounds were not the Holy Spirit's main work that day. What was his main work? In the message that the disciples shared that day, the Holy Spirit was at work, working through the power of God's word, bringing hearts to repentance and faith. Christ was glorified, souls were saved through that word, and that was the Holy Spirit's main work. People from many nations were visiting Jerusalem at that time, and by the Holy Spirit's work, they were each able to hear God's word in their own language, in words that they could understand. They heard the uncomfortable message of God's law, by which the Holy Spirit made them aware of their need for a Savior. And they heard the sweet, comforting message of the gospel, by which the Holy Spirit bore witness to them about Jesus as the Savior they so needed. By the work of the Holy Spirit, many who heard the word that day believed. They repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, as the Holy Spirit was poured into their hearts. And in that way, about 3,000 souls were saved that day. Most of those 3,000 people would not have heard the sound of wind or saw what looked like tongues of fire that day, because those things had happened just in the room where the disciples had initially been gathered. But it really didn't matter whether the people heard or saw those things. What mattered was that they heard the living and active Word of God, and they came to see Jesus Christ as their Savior that day. That was the Holy Spirit's main work that day, work of eternal significance for the 3,000 souls who were saved through his work that day. Today, too, the Holy Spirit continues to work just as Jesus said he would and as he did on Pentecost, working through the power of God's word to bring people to repentance and to saving faith, shattering proud hearts with the hammer of God's law, and then mending broken hearts with the healing balm of the gospel, which he brings to us in the word and in the water and word of holy baptism. In this way, the Holy Spirit delivers to us personally the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that Christ purchased for us at the price of his life on the cross. And in this way, Christ is glorified. So, returning to the question I began with, how do you know when the Holy Spirit is working? Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bear witness about him. So when you are receiving a message, whether it's written, spoken, or sung, when you are receiving a message that faithfully bears witness about Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, the Holy Spirit is at work, just as Jesus said he would be. Jesus also said that part of the Holy Spirit's work would be working on people's hearts to convict them of their sin. So when you find God's law making you feel uncomfortable with your sin, when you hear a message that doesn't let you get away with thinking that you're okay on your own apart from Christ, that might not feel like a very spiritual experience to you. But it's a very good sign that the Holy Spirit is at work, showing you your need for a Savior, showing you your need for Jesus Christ. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit would take what is his and declare it to us, that he would take every good thing found in Jesus and bring it to us personally. So when you hear the good news that all your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, when you hear the quiet splash of baptismal water as sins are washed away in Jesus' name, when you hear the invitation to eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit is at work, because that is the work that Jesus promised he would send the Holy Spirit to do. I began this morning by describing the experience of a young man, a sincere, dedicated Christian, who worshiped in a Lutheran church for the first time, and who came away from the service that day feeling distressed, feeling that the Holy Spirit just did not seem to be there. At the time, he was going by what he had been taught, but unfortunately, he had been taught some mistaken ideas about how the Holy Spirit works and about how you know when the Holy Spirit is working. But of course, his misunderstanding did not keep the Holy Spirit from continuing to work on him in his heart and his mind. And over time, the Holy Spirit led that man into a fuller understanding of God's word, including a clearer, more biblical understanding of how the Holy Spirit works. Years later, he was one of my classmates at the seminary, and he's now a faithful Lutheran pastor, and the Holy Spirit is working through him and the word that he shares. His name is Brian Wolfmuller, and I'd like to conclude this morning with a few words that he wrote about that initial experience in a Lutheran church and about what he has since come to know through the work of the Holy Spirit, about the work of the Holy Spirit. He writes, "I was wrong after I visited that Lutheran service. I might not have been moved. I might not have felt the Holy Spirit, but he was there. He was there in the Word, doing his gracious work. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of his work is not detected by feeling, but by hearing. The Bible never commands us to feel the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to listen to the Word, and the Holy Spirit works through the Word. So, how do you know where the Holy Spirit is? How do you find him? You listen. Listen for the Word of God. Listen for the Holy Scriptures. Listen for the comforting gospel message that Jesus has died for you, forgiven you, opened heaven for you. Listen for the preaching of law and gospel. And you will find that the Holy Spirit bound to the very Word of God. And that is our great comfort. May that great comfort, given by the Holy Spirit through the Word, bearing witness about Jesus Christ, be yours now and forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.